Chapter 6. Glory to God. I hope your day has been refreshing. I hope you've been spending time to pray. Glory to God. You know, it takes discipline for prayer not to become a religious exercise. For you to understand that it's our very life. And that not being prayerful is responsible for many mishaps that we experience in life. In Psalm 34, verse 19, the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. So if you are the righteous, many are the afflictions. You don't have to miss it to appear to miss it. You don't have to miss it to appear to miss it. Peter puts it this way. He said, don't look at the trials and the challenges you face with any form of amazement, as though some strange thing were happening. In other words, trials and affliction are like normal where a believer is concerned. So there's a delay in this area. There's a challenge in this area. He said it's normal. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Thank God that's not where that scripture stops. Say, but the Lord delivers him. Heart of what? All. Say all. Hallelujah. And that's where prayer comes in. The gap between the afflictions and God's delivering power is supplied as the saints pray. So many times, the attack we often find is on our prayer life. And so this series, we've actually titled it "The Believer's What Do We Call It?" The Believer's Prayer Life, because it's going to span this month and then cross over into next month. Because we're looking at different things, different aspects, and that's why I first laid a foundation by letting us see the nature and character of God, so that we understand Him with whom we have to do. That's very important. God is a giving God. God is a giving God. And then the ball is in our court, which means that how do we handle God's largesse? How do we handle the spirit that God has given us, which is the earnest of our inheritance? The spirit of God that is dwelling within a believer is a proof of everything that God has done for us in Christ, which is if you have that spirit, then everything that God has done is yours already. That's what it means for you to have the spirit of God. So we're looking at the importance of praying and actually how to pray in Ephesians in chapter 6. Ephesians in chapter 6. Read from verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. It says, praying always without prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let me read that again. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Some words here in this verse leap out at us, because here we are given an instruction. He just finished itemizing some things in the previous verses, what we know as the whole armor of God. It is actually the armor of the recreated human spirit, which has to do with the state of a man's mind. Okay, verse 18 now says, after everything I've mentioned, spoken to you about the element of salvation, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, you have buckled on you the girdle of truth, you're wearing the breastplate of righteousness. And now says, when you're holding the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. Praying always. So the word of God that works for you is not the one that you had. Is the one that you prayed after you had it. The word of God that works for you is not the one that you just had. Is the one that you prayed after you had it. That's important. Remember the parable of Jesus when he was teaching about the sower that sowed the word. The parable of the sower. One of the things he said was that the first category, he says, after people have heard the word, the thief cometh immediately and takes away what is sown. It comes immediately. So it's not the word that you heard that produces results. It's the word that you prayed in. You prayed yourself. You anchored yourself into in the place of prayer. So revelation of the scriptures never negates prayer. Revelation of the scriptures facilitates prayer more. It means the more you see the import of God's plans and purposes concerning you, the more you see your rights and your privileges in Christ, the more you are driven to prayer. Hallelujah. The more you are driven to prayer. This is very important. The more you are driven to prayer. So you could say that the Christian vocation that will never change, that is unending, that is perpetual until we see Jesus face to face, is praying. Is it praying always? With all prayer. That means all manner of prayer and then supplication. Whenever you see the word supplication, it's telling you we're not talking about 2 or 3 minutes. We're not talking about prayer of agreement. We're talking of that which is long, that which you stay with, that which you tarry at. Hallelujah. You know, the reason why we had it fasting, notice the way I use it, we had it fasting, is because the idea of praying in the New Testament is very interesting. You won't find any direct instruction in the New Testament about the believer's fasting. You won't find any. And the reason is because the emphasis can shift from what is meant to be to what is not. What's the emphasis? Praying. What is fasting? An assist to prayer. But what some people do is that they make fasting the thing, they now make prayer the assist. Then you have a problem. The main focus is that you and I pray, then we use fasting as an assist. Assist means that we're spending so much time praying or focusing on spiritual realities, we don't have time to eat. Pay attention to that. If that is not your attitude, you don't know what fast is meant to do in place of prayer. You will think that fasting is something that, you know, God just commands and just, because listen, you're not eating food for 24 hours. It doesn't do anything to God. It doesn't see. It doesn't eat food. So it does nothing. But there's something that your praying and my praying does where the will of God is concerned. Let me put it this way. The will of God upon the earth will not come to pass if saints don't pray. Are we counting on God? Yes. Is he counting on us? Yes. So there's a partnership. The head was given to man, but that man that it was given to, that will produce results, is a man who in partnership with God prays out the will of God by the same spirit that God has given us. So when we are praying and fasting, we're not fasting and praying, we're praying and fasting. The fasting is an assist. So if you've not eaten since, and by 9 you look at the time, by 12 look at the time, by 3 look at the time, by 5 look at the time. Notice that looking at the time has distracted you from the real business of the hour. What's that business? Praying. It is that you're praying and you're devoted so much to praying, you don't really have time to eat. It is not that. I hope when we finish this meeting, you didn't forget to cook. I'm telling your wife. I hope something is waiting for me at home. I hope that. And then threats. Threats can follow. I don't want to hear anything as I get home. If something is not waiting, you will see Jesus today. It is prayer and fasting. So the emphasis of waiting upon the Lord is what we do when we call waiting. What is that waiting? Praying. Isaiah 14. Someone just sent my heart that you just need to go through over this again, because we are not going to assume. We have to remind ourselves of the fundamental basics, because else we will, it will be an exercise in futility. Isaiah 40 from verse 28. As thou not known, as thou not heard, that the one everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the hands of the earth, faints not, neither is what? Weary. Now, the one faint not means that it doesn't get tired. Weary means that it never gives up. Sorry, that's the reverse. Faint not means doesn't give up. Weary means doesn't get tired. So there's nothing like God is frustrated. It has never happened. It will never happen. He now tells you the secret of why that can happen. He says there is no searching of what? That word means that there is really no situation that will arise that there is no understanding in God how to deal with it. There's no such thing. So let me put it this way. This testimony here, as written in the Old Testament, the reality of it in the New Testament is this. There is no situation that can ever come upon the heart that the believer doesn't have an answer to if the believer prays. Let me put it this way. You are wired in such a way that the victory, the prevailing ability, is already within you in Christ Jesus. Let me put it another way. When Jesus rose and you rose with him, you rose with the keys of victory. With those keys of victory, your mind may not always be conscious of that understanding, that wisdom, or that victory, but when you pray, the wisdom, the understanding comes to your mind. Do you understand? So the victory, there is no such thing as a challenge that the power of God within you cannot handle. If there's such a challenge, if I let me put it this way, such a challenge doesn't exist. There's no such thing as a challenge. You see, that this situation, is beyond what the greater one in me can handle. There's no such thing. So he says, have you not heard? Have you not known the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of that? Face on the is where there is no searching of his understanding. Next verse. See what it says. He gives what? Power. That's what he does. He gives power to who are the faint, those who are about to give up. And to them that have no, that those who have gotten tired. He increases what? Strength. Even the youths now, when he uses what youth now, it's a mocking term. That means those who are counting on their natural strength. Say, look what will happen. They will find situations that will make them give up, that will make them tired, and completely lose hope. Utterly fail means completely lose hope. That means he has stranded now. That's what it means. But look at what it says. But they that wait upon the Lord shall what? The word renew means exchange. Exchange. They will exchange strength. That word renew means exchange, which is they take up God's strength. You'll soon see what that strength is now. They will run. A man that will wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If you look at that in the light of just ordinary strength, look at the phraseology. They will mount up with wings as eagles. It's not strength that it takes to mount up with wings. It's understanding. Then they, just like the other youths, are also running. The only difference is an understanding about how to run that is ensuring that they never get tired and they never faint. If you understand, let me see your hand. So when we pray, trying to make ends meet, has seemingly dominated your heart and your thoughts of recent. No, do not try to make ends meet. Understand that in Christ all your needs are already met, and because of the abundance of the needs that are met in him, take freely. Drink freely from the stream of his abundance. Take with your mouth. Allow your mouth to acknowledge what he has done. Until he settles upon your heart and your consciousness, the reality of what he has done, and then the fears will die, and the doubts will flee away, and there will arise in you a supernatural confidence. You will look at the word and what he has said, and you will accept it as your report. And before long, every other report will pale into insignificance, and there will be strong, victorious manifestations of the power of God in your experience. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it says, they shall mount up, they that wait upon the Lord. That's in prayer. So one of the most humble things a believer can do is to pray. It means in prayer you are actually trusting and counting on God's ability to put you over. Notice that Ephesians 6 it says, praying always with all prayer. The thing about the New Testament praying that is amazing is this: hardly are we giving prayer points. Do you know we can have practices? Not that we can. We actually do have practices in the modern day church that are not remotely scriptural. The Bible says praying always with all prayer, all supplication. The word supplication means earnest, persistent praying. That means that the normal thing or the normal position of a local assembly is that we are always praying. We're not praying because there's problem. We're not praying to avoid problem. We're praying because that is our default mode. Hallelujah. We are always praying. So when you see a local assembly that focuses on praying when there's a problem, they are not working in light of scripture. And most of our centers are solution centers. That's no different from an evangelist. Because once the position has been received, you won't see faithfulness in that person again. But the Bible actually teaches that through you, there's an expression of Christ that will come upon the heart in the place of prayer. So it says, praying always, say always, with all manner of prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. In the Spirit. You can look at that phrase, in the Spirit, as in the solution. In God's abundance. In Christ's realities. In the Spirit. It's another phrase that addresses all the resurrection power, all the victory that God accomplishes in the Spirit. So it's praying always in the Spirit. Very important. Always in the Spirit. It's talking about you praying in an arena where there is no such thing as failure. In the Spirit. It says praying always. So you can't be referring to 5 minutes praying. You can't be talking about prayer of agreement. No. Many times prayer of agreement is usually prayer of disagreement. Because the person you are holding, I don't know why people believe that once I join my hands with you, I'm in agreement. I may be envious of what you are believing for. That's a bad part of some of those things. So you can't really trust anybody praying for you like you should pray for yourself. Instead, your pastor is saying, I'm praying for you. You can't even trust your pastor's prayer entirely, because he too has other things to pray for. And guess what? You are not the church member. So the Bible says to all believers, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching. Watching means staying alert. That means it is natural for you and I in a place of prayers to have visions. You are alert. You are watching. What are you watching? The outcome. How things are playing out. Which area needs more emphasis? Let me put it another way. The post of New Testament praying is that you start out praying. Listen carefully. No prayer point, you're just praying. Then when you are praying for a while, you will have prayer points. You hear what I said? Say praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, or as you're led by the spirit, then watching thereunto. So it means that, customarily speaking, if you're spending time to pray, the only reason why you can tell me that your prayer is short is because you are likely praying selfish prayers. If you are praying for me, your prayer can be short. You are praying for your brother, your prayer, because to pray for you to be established in the will of God, it may take me 3 years. I will be only interrupting myself to go and beat and to go to work and do other things. When I remember again, I continue again, because it's a prayer that I keep praying, because you never come to be a maturity one day. Let me put it this way. Have you noticed that there are things you know to do, but you don't do? Have you noticed? Have you noticed that? You've not been saved for too long. That there are things you know to do. Then when it's time to do them, why don't you do them? It's because prayer is where stability comes. That's where you have staying power. You don't have staying power on the truth except you spend much time praying. So when we're counseling or exhorting ourselves to pray, it's because that's where staying ability comes from. That's where it comes from. Even Jude 20 that we normally quote, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. That is on what you already have. On what is the reality within you? Why don't you act like it outside? How come the flesh seems to be prevailing? How come the words of Jesus that says that the spirit is willing, but what? The flesh is what? Weak. How do you overcome that? He says, but building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Doing what? Pray in the Holy Ghost means that you're praying in the reality of who you are in Christ. That's what it means, praying in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the reality of who you really are. You are a son of God. You are more than a conqueror. You are the victorious one. You are the one who has come out of death. Death can have mastery over you again. As you pray in that reality, as you're praying in the tongues, that's what you are praying out. You're praying your victory. You're praying the fact that you have mastery over demonic forces. That's what you're praying. You say, but you, beloved, you that you are separate, you're not sensual like those in the world. Building up yourselves, that means that putting yourself in a place where you can now act on the reality of the truth. Listen. If fresh news comes or a challenge comes and you find yourself falling flat on your face, it's not lack of power. It's because whatever power that you have is dormant. It's not that you need a fresh victory. You know, there's a way challenges deceive us. I need 7 elders lighting 7 candles for 7 days, fasting for 7 hours for there to be deliverance. As though Jesus has no reason. And when he rose, he handed over the keys. These are the keys. That's what he said. And you have the keys. In case you are not convinced, he gave you the spirit. Not much more than a down payment. As an earnest, as a proof, as a seal and sign that these things I've told you, they're done. He now says, pray in the reality of what is done. That's what it means. So when I'm praying the Holy Ghost, I'm now praying beyond how the circumstances appear. I'm praying the light of who I am. And what I have and what I can in Christ Jesus. So there's no such thing as a believer should be so confident of outcome in prayer that you're telling yourself with the present news that I'm hearing. By the time my knees touch the floor and I stand up, there will be a change. I will change the report. Let me put it this way. Dr. Kenneth Hagin, whom I follow closely, was so proficient in prayer that there were times he started to pray and God told him, please don't pray. Has God ever told you not to pray? Most of the time he tells you, pray. Get up. Stop sleeping. Leave your pillow. Stand up. Go to the parlor. Go to backwoodie. Pray. Pray now. Pray. Pray. You just suddenly woke up. What was the time? 2 a.m. You just slept at 11. Why did you wake up? No reason. You don't know by now that it must be a signal to pray. You didn't have a bad dream. Because some people, the only time they get up to pray in night is when there's a bad dream. And the prayer is to run away from the dream. No. There's a prompting on the inside. That means that, and that it's not because, you know, some people say, they say that between 12 and 1, prayers are more. There's traffic is less in the spirit to heaven. So when didn't that time? So when I even come with that, demoniacal forces are not sleeping. Brethren, why sleep? Sleep not. But the Bible says they that sleep in the night. It's in the Bible. You see, but around that time, the activity, why can't you see angelic activities increase? Why are you studying how demons operate when you are seated far above them? Don't have the wrong consciousness. We're not praying against demons. We say there's a will of God that needs to be done. There are assignments in the hearts of men who are, that are lying dormant. There are things God has in mind for me to do and I'm supposed to carry out. I don't just carry them out by just verbally affirming. I carry them out in the place of prayer. In the place of prayer, which is I pray myself into walking in God's will fully. I pray myself into acting out divine instructions. I don't act those things out naturally. I don't. I have to pray myself into those things. It's not enough to receive prophecy. After you see prophecy, it's not time to now pray on the prophecy. 2 years before starting Noble House, I received an instruction. One of the very, very few times that I've written down tongues, I wrote down the tongues. Because I spoke out the tongues, I didn't know what it meant. So I wrote it down. So I wrote it down, and every day, for a period of 3 days, I will look at it, I will read out the tongues, and I'll pray in the Holy Ghost. I'll read out the tongues, I'll pray in the Holy Ghost. By the second day, I wrote out the interpretation. And the interpretation was that in 2 years' time, you will leave this work, you go and start something else. That was what he was trying to pass on. I was too dull to get it. So how did I not get it? I prayed it out. Then it took 2 years of praying and preparing. Because after this, you don't just rush out. You will fall flat on your face. Nothing of the spirit can be done in the energy of the flesh. Nothing. Nothing of the spirit can be done in the energy of the flesh. Nothing. Nothing of the spirit. Jesus was without sin. Jesus' prayer life, he wasn't believing for a car. He didn't believe for a house. He didn't believe for healing. He wasn't trusting God to get married. He wasn't seeking promotion from work. But his prayer life was stronger than people who are seeking for all those things. Think about it. So if you remove promotion, increase, getting married, having children, buying car, getting a house, from people's prayer list, prayer is one. It's not. Somebody said, and I believe, if you bring good governance to Nigeria, good rules, good hospitals, solid salaries, some turkeys, you will now know why they were in church. It was never for the love of God, it's for the love of things. It's poverty. Let me say that. You know, the reason why we have not been destroyed is because we pray much in this country. Which pray much? Check the content of the prayer. Oh God. Oh God. Give me a spouse or I die. Oh God. Oh God. This year, the content of the prayer tells you that they were never really praying about the will of God. It was about personal things. Things that people in other countries don't bother praying about because they have other issues to deal with. The salvation of souls is more important because they... So if you remove those prayer points most of the time from the law of congregations, they don't have anything to pray about. That's the end of prayer life for them. But Jesus will pray, and Moses, and he spent all night, the Son of God, without sin. Tempted in every way, yet without sin. All night in prayer. Do you know what all night is in our day? We had VG. Most of them. If, when we used to have VG here, we even try small, we will start at 1 at 10 and finish at 5. All night in the days of Jesus, night starts at 6 p.m. The dawn breaks at 6 a.m. 12 hours. It was when he finished praying that we discovered why he was praying. He wanted to pick 12 disciples. And one of them was still a traitor. You know, it requires praying for you to know that one of the people you are pricking will betray you, and you still pick the person. You need to have backbone. No, think about it. You think Jesus didn't know? He knew. And he still picked him. And he's likely to betray him. And spent all night praying. No wonder Jesus will sleep during storms. Because he will pray when there is no storm. When everything is calm, Jesus will pray. The disciples will be eating and drinking. Then when there's a storm, they'll be shouting. The Jesus will be sleeping. Can you see the problem? It means, they say, when there's nothing to pray for, pray. Or like they say, pray so that you don't pray. What that means is that pray so that you won't have in mind against praying. It means a believer keeps putting out God's power, keeps keeping himself in spiritual shape to be able to fulfill God's will at all times. Hallelujah. It's important. You have a ministry to discharge, for instance. How are you going to discharge your ministry without praying? That you know the ministry is one thing, that you work in ministry is another thing. Do you know that the difference between you singing and this other person singing is not how powerful the song is? It's not the song that's powerful, it's the people that the person that is singing that's powerful. You don't know. You spend 3 hours praying in tongues before leading us in worship. Even the dullest Christian will be edified. Somebody says, why? Before you came to pick a song, worship is never. You come to church sometimes, you see somebody coming into the auditorium, depression all over him. You now understand it's not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. Depression that counseling can solve is by the spirit that you break the yoke of depression. Then you now want to just, you know, that morning, just say, Pastor, bless God. Jesus is Lord. Thank you, Father. And you think that will work? It can't work. You are dealing with several souls of men coming together in one place. And that's, I don't even like their faces when I'm leading worship. Their faces. Even their faces. They're not even responding. Have you done your part? Have you prayed them in? Have you prayed yourself out? Such that when you open your mouth, even the smallest song takes on a new meaning upon your lips, because you are ministering by the anointing of the Spirit of God. That you are anointed is one thing, that you express the anointing is another. That takes prayer. Praying always with all prayer and what? Supplication. If you understand what I'm sharing with us tonight, you will know that whether we send through, is it family group, prayer point or not, you have prayers, things to pray that are plenty. In fact, you have to do catch up. There's a backlog in your account of things you are meant to have prayed out and prayed for that you have not yet. That we don't need any. In fact, when we call for prayer meeting like on Saturday, we just, the person in your house comes, Jesus just come back, come back. That we, you're looking for, they say, Amen. When let us go home, there's just tomorrow. Not that after 15 minutes, hallelujah, I sense that there's breakthrough. Hallelujah. No, you have not prayed. You pray, your belly is aching. You pray, every fiber of your being is shaking. You know there's a release. You know death has been broken up. And it's within your control and my control. So imagine when we now slack in that ministry. Many things won't be done. It is lack of prayer that makes us think that people will just come for a meeting like Holy Ghost meeting and just have a good time without understanding that none of us is a spectator, we are all participators. Think about it. You supplied your part. I supplied my part. The Bible says, by that which every joint supplies, which means that you are busting out in prayer about the meeting. I am busting out about the meeting. As I'm praying for ultras, we are praying for people to receive. And the word of God will have free course. And every single individual needs to be met. And you are praying. And there is no man that will come in that will not receive understanding and enlightenment. That's what you are praying. It is every one of us that makes a meeting what it is. When you hear ministers say, I've only been in 2 meetings. And the minister that is speaking about 60 years of ministry. And I've ever seen so and so. He's telling you there was only 2 times that we had members in that gathering cooperate to that point.
He's not telling you there was only two times God wanted to move that way. No. The Bible says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can what? Ask or think. So let's read this way. In the forthcoming Holy Ghost meetings, all our women that want to conceive will conceive without fail. You are not touching God's account, as in you didn't put a dent on the account. In the next Holy Ghost meeting, all our men that require jobs, the way they will get it will shock them. You've not put a dent on God's account. All individuals willing to get married, the strange, miraculous working of God's provision and supernatural arrangement that will bring about the marriage will be mighty manifestation. You have not put a dent on God's account. You have not put a dent on God's account. Let me put it this way. When it says exceeding greatness of his power, or is able to do exceeding abundantly above, it seems to say, dear me. You dear me. Why do you think Jesus will go all night? They will come. And listen, if you are not charged up, you've not seen things. You know, they're seeing things, and they're seeing things. You understand? They're seeing things. That is, you have to have seen things so that things will not see you. Luke chapter 7. They were carrying a young man dead to bury. The woman was crying, she was a widow. You know, that's the most terrible situation. You have only one child. You were once married, your husband is now dead. So the only hope you have is in the coffin. He's in the coffin. That's the only hope you have, is not in the coffin. Then they were passing by. They didn't even know who Jesus was. And then Jesus touched the coffin. You know, if you don't know what they're doing, they may slap you because as can't use that people are mourning. They are even stopping them. And Jesus now spoke. Young man, I said unto thee, arise. That's power. Could God have done that before Jesus came? Yes. Why didn't he do it? Nobody saw what Jesus saw. Nobody received or downloaded that assignment in place of prayer like Jesus did. That's all. They asked Charles G. Finney, how are you getting this kind of results? He said, well, every morning I'll go out into the woods between 4 and 8 hours and pray. Lord Jesus, I want this city for Christ. I mean, a man will pass through the city and people will be screaming to give their lives to Christ as he's passing. You know, have you not seen some strange manifestations of the gospel such that a man of God is there after a short sermon? You can even be very annoyed that all the sermon was just 15 minutes. I've been there before. Pastor, we preach a sermon of 15 minutes. Matthew chapter 8, I can't forget. 21 years ago. Matthew chapter 8. And so it was of the leper. I will be thou clean. Very short sermon. Man now said, want to give your life to Christ? I'm going to count to 7. If you count to 31, they won't come. You count in next year, they are not getting up. Somebody say, I'm going to count to 7. And they are running to make sure that they are able to come in this hour. You think it's just, I'm going to count. It's not mouth. Much prayer is behind that, I'm going to count. If I have seen that, I'm going to count that he's seen. What he's seen is supernatural instruction. You think Elijah just came before the king? A king who is a killer. And you say that, there shall be no rain, nor dew, except at my word. And some people are now quoting scripture, thou shalt decree it in, shall be established. You will decree, even you will be unestablished after you have decreed. That shall decree it in. Nothing will be established except your foolishness. That's all that will show up. Because it is the New Testament that now showed us in James 5 that before he went to the king, what had he done? Prayed. So this was a man who knew he had power. How much power did he generate? Enough to make him say, I am telling you, as a matter of fact, there shall be no rain except I say it. What does he mean by saying it? I will pray it again and I'll come and tell you. That is a man under a faulty covenant saying that. There shall be no rain nor dew. Boldness. That's not 5 minutes of praying. That's someone who had agonized in prayer. It was sure of the results. So when we're saying we're going to have spectacular manifestation, we better know what we're talking about. We better know that every one of us is interested in seeing terrible works of righteousness. That there's no man that will come and they won't experience an immersion in the power of God. A complete immersion. You see, ungodly habits broken. You see, people delivered of all kinds of afflictions. Men set free. There's no such thing as incurable disease in the presence of God's glory. And grace will manifest every ailment. You know, people who are healed and they don't even know that there was something that they were even carrying, they've been managing for long. You know, you can manage something until you're not really conscious of it again. Then when you are walking, we now realize that, wait, oh, that is not even there again. Yeah. We're talking about God's power in that kind of manifestation. And it lies in our praying. Hallelujah. It lies in our praying. So there is more responsibility for us as believers in place of prayer than we realize. Much more than we realize. That's why I said that you're going to see somebody who's going to want to lead people in worship, and you don't realize that your work is not to sing first, your work is to pray first. That the real work of leading people in worship, if you didn't need to pray, let us get what's the name of this? Is he still alive? Luciano Pavarotti. You ever heard of that name before? You have not? Okay, he's a tenor. All these operatic singers. Okay, they call them the three tenors. I'm trying to remember the name of the other three. So, world-class tenors who sing. Their voice can break glass. When you sing the other two. Now, if it is about singing that way, many people are blessed with good voice. Worship is not about good voice. It's about lifting the souls of men and encouraging them. So, prayer, you are dealing with men, you need to pray. You can't mumble a few words in songs. That's why you're going to do something early, you're going to leave worship. If you love your bed too much, you can't do the things of the Spirit. You can't do the things of the Spirit. You can't. You will never stand in that place where you can execute and act on spiritual instructions you have not even seen. Because in the place of prayer, you get to see those things that I'm supposed to do. What's my role during the service? I'm going to hug someone. I'm going to slap someone on the back. I ministered healing to some people very few times. And I was asked to slap them. I didn't say slap their face. I slapped the part of their body that required healing, and they were healed instantly. I didn't go around slapping people since that time. That the greatest method now is to slap people. When you see Jesus, instead of laying hands on a blind man, begin to make spittle with clay. No, he must have seen it when he was praying. You can't do guesswork with spirit. In other words, let us test whether to walk. This was really wrong. Bring green water. No. You have to have seen it. So in place of prayer, Jesus already told us, whatever the Father doeth, he shows the Son. Are you a son? Are you a son? Where does the Father reveal things to you in the place of prayer? What's prayer? Intimacy with God. He that speaks in our unknown tongue speaks not of the member, not of God. For no man understanding. Howbeit in the Spirit. In the Spirit. So many times you have to be, now please pay attention to the phrase I'm using, you have to be in the Spirit. What that means is, are you in the Spirit? Are you in the Spirit? Now, in the Spirit means that's your habitation, that's your abode, but you're not always consciously in the Spirit. So when the Bible says in the Spirit, means you are now consciously in the Spirit. You are now consciously in the Spirit. Then in that light, in that place, in that awareness, that consciousness, you hear things beyond the realm of the senses. You see things beyond natural sight. You pick up instructions with the boldness and the ability to execute in that same place of praying. Glory to God. That's why you know to run in a meeting suddenly. You know this, I'm very conservative. I don't really like people noticing me dance or shout. What if your dance is important to the meeting? How do you get strength to dance? It's from that place of prayer. How do you lose your self-awareness? All these, I'm conservative. When the Holy Ghost speaks, when God's power wants to move, and God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound things that are wise, and He wants your scream to heal someone, your shout to deliver someone, and the person wants to use this thing that, I don't like shouting too much. All this shouting, can't we just praise God quietly? Why must I roll on the floor? If you knew what rolling the floor would do to the meeting, you roll until the ushers come and catch you. If you knew what your dance would do in a meeting, you will dance until all the ushers are doing their best to see how to stop you.
if you knew. So many times we don't step out into the spirit because we are not prayed up. We're not prayed up. We've not prayed ourselves to the point where we see the instructions, we hear the instructions, then we are emboldened to execute the instructions. Glory to God. That's what our prayer does. It brings stability. It produces staying power in the place of God. That's what happens. So there are things to do. I mainly use those who lead worship as an illustration. It is the same thing with anybody who does any form of ministry. I know a church where there are ushers, when they hug you to welcome you, they hug out cancer. They hug out cancer. They help you and assist you with your walking stick and remove it from your hand and you're walking straight. And service has not started. So if you think that, you know, I know a church where the people that get people filled with the spirit, they are ushers. When they want to get up, people, you say, okay, go to that usher. Usher A or usher B, also, they get filled with spirit. They don't, you don't need to see any pastor here. The ushers, that's their work. That's part of their work. After that, Stephen and Philip, they are ushers. When they are ushers, yeah, our name for them is Deacon. They are ushers. So ushers are meant to be spiritual. Ushers are also just people who wear fine tie and will find dress. That's more than the definition of usher. Ushers are spiritual people because they are the ones who are going to meet you first, the first contact. That means there must be a spiritual impact. The same way ushers and choir, they are some of the most important people that a local assembly has. So you don't play with them, because when people come there, people who have left church because of worship. So you realize you need to pray. A spiritual service and ministry is not done in the flesh. It's done with the energy of the spirit. We're handling the souls of men. So if we're serious about the forthcoming meetings, there's a way we pray about it. You won't pray with supervision. You will pray unsupervised. You pray knowing my quota is necessary. My contribution is important. A life will be changed. You know, people who pray this way, they are the ones when they stand before the judgment of Christ, they receive crowns for things they never knew they did. That when you were praying, I was able to use your prayer to supply deliverance to somebody in South America. Because you persisted in prayer, I was able to help this believer out of the situation because you were a partner with me in ministering the power of God. I'm telling you the truth about praying. That's how important prayer is. It's only when you think prayer is just for me, myself, and I, and my family, and your prayer is selfish. So we're never done praying. We just pray for a while and then continue. But we're never done praying. Done? How will a believer be done praying when there's just so much to pray about? We don't just pray when there's a meeting mode. We just keep praying because there are always things to pray about. And then when you pray that way, you have prayed yourself many times in advance to handle whatever challenge may come, standing your ground and not with your back on the floor. Glory to God. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is what? Is the problem big? Is the problem big? Your strength is... What does it mean your usual spread? It means in expression. What you have in expression is small. What you have available is not able to handle the challenge. It means that it is in measures that the believer's prayer life releases power. Is in measures. If you release one measure now, you need more measure. Guess what? With all the anointing of Jesus, after he finishes ministry to people all day, you still go and pray all night. Why? You have used that one. You go back to refill. Once you refill, there are more things to see. And especially more that ways to minister to people. There's nothing like, I'm a miracle worker. Just wake me. I'm set. That can only happen if you have been praying consistently. Because that you prayed yesterday, you work miracles today, doesn't mean you do the same yet tomorrow if you don't continue praying. What does prayer do? You keep plugged. You stay in the spirit. Guess what? In the spirit is like an account that can never run dry. So you keep drawing. So if you have seen things, guess what? There are more to see. There are more things to see. That's why we pray. That's why we pray. So when we come together and say, they are saying we should pray that prayer. When are we going to stop this prayer for my eyes should be open? I should walk watching. When are we going to, can we pray prayer? Prayer that, God, everybody in this church, house building, build house, own land. When are we going to pray? Because there are people who don't pray and they get those things. They don't need prayer to get those things. But the things we're praying can't be gotten without prayer. Spiritual growth is not a finished work of Christ. It's unfinished work. Spiritual growth is not a finished work. It's unfinished work. Some people will remain babies except we pray. So when I see you acting less than who you are, I know. I need to bridge the gap by praying for you. I don't start by condemning you. I don't start by accusing you. If I'm mature to any degree as a believer, I know I was once there. I know that what you would like to do is not always what you do. I know with all you have been taught, you should act better, but you are not acting better. It means that though you've been taught, it is not yet within the realm of your understanding yet, and not yet a reality for you, so you are not walking it yet. What do? I pray for you. Look at what Jesus said concerning Peter before we start praying tonight. Look at what Jesus said concerning prayer. Second Peter. It's not Second Peter. Luke 22. Where did I get Second Peter for? If I find that scripture in Second Peter, I need to change the Bible. Second Peter. Okay? Even Jesus will ask you, bros. Second Peter. Before he went to the cross, okay? Look at what Jesus said. Luke 22, verse 30. Let's read verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31. I want to see. It says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon. You know, when you say Simon, Simon, that's like a pet name. And that's also to call, get your attention. He calls you twice. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan at past or present. Past or present. Pay attention. It says, desired to have you. Okay. But if you remove the word to have, you notice that it's italicized. So what is he really saying? Satan has what? Desired you. That's not a good desire. Satan desires you. And the Bible says that he steals, he kills, he destroys. What can desire be? I'm just... Jesus has desired you. So to have, listen, see what it says. That he may want. So if you use the word, if you you, which is a letter, to sift as wheat. So what is there? To sift you. To shake you. That is, tribulation is coming. That everything that can shake, will shake. Even the things that you talk could even shake, will shake. And that is really. But what is the intent of all that? If you understand this scripture, you know why we keep praying. You know why a believer must not fall flat on his face when he misses, maybe something is wrong with your car, and something wrong with that. Something just happened to your car. And then the money that the business that you did, it wasn't working. And then at that point, that's when your landlord just came and said, there's increment in the. Have you seen this thing ever? Do you know one of the things that happened? It coincides attacks at the time of your expectation to make you believe that it's something you did. His only problem is that even when he didn't do anything, it still happened. That should let you know it has nothing to do with what you did. It's just many are the afflictions of the righteous, but don't stop there. But the Lord. But the Lord, but the Lord, but the Lord. Believers matter of every one of them. So, see what it says. It says, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, because Satan has desired you that he may sift as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. So, what's Satan really after? What's really after? Faith failure. That's all. He doesn't drive cars, he doesn't live in houses, he's houseless. It goes through and through. He doesn't wear clothes. He doesn't do business except business of getting people lost. So all the physical things that you think are like giving you issues emotionally, he doesn't use any of them. What is after is not physical, it's spiritual in nature. What is about your faith? What's your faith? Your trust and dependability on God. Will you change your mind about what you believe when it comes to God? Will you believe God is still good even when things are not good? That's what it's after. But I pray for God, because some believers say, like, oh God, why me? I asked Paul, apostle, tutors of the New Testament, and this man said, at my first answer, 2 Timothy chapter 4, all men forsook me. Is that not disfavor? That God has finally turned his back on me. I must have missed it. Paul said, at my first answer, all men, say all. You know what else you say all? All men forsook me, but the Lord stood by me, so that by me the preaching was fully known, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And God shall deliver me from every evil work and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Paul didn't conclude, I'm no longer walking in faith, I must have sinned. No. Paul knew how the game is played.
What's the challenge? Paul's faith. So when things seem to come to you at the same time, you just know my faith is under trial. What should I do? Bible says that your faith, which is much more precious than of gold that perishes, because your own faith won't perish, shall be found to the praise and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus. So see what it says. And when you are what? I love Jesus. When you are converted, do what? Where will the strength come from? Your conversion. What's conversion? You have recovered. How were you recovered? I prayed for you. So when Peter was tempted or was tried three times and he lied three times, that was meant to be the end of his future apostleship. But Jesus said, I've prayed for you. Your faith won't fail. And when you are back now, guess who strengthened the others? Peter. Jesus was saying, this is what will happen, but I've decided what the outcome will be. So when it's still looking like the outcome will be so, she may have told you that you will come back. So no problem. There's a boldness that we have in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. There's a confidence. The same Lord, the same Spirit, the same power at work in us. Hallelujah. How do we start tonight? We pray for ourselves. And every one of us will be strengthened in the faith to do all of God's good pleasure, to do all of God's will, before we now start praying for the forthcoming meetings. Do you understand? You will stand strong, you'll be sure, you'll be steady. There'll be no shaking, no room for depression, no room for worry, no room for anxiety, no room for doubting, no place for fear. You will stand unshakable in the reality of God's goodness. You will stand confidence of your victory. You will know victory is not going to come. Victory already is. You'll be assured of it. You know there is no thought that can assail your consciousness. You will know that there are things you said you believed and you have been believing for that you have not seen. You will be strengthened to walk in light. Stand to your feet tonight and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. According to Jesus, we will strengthen with might by God's Spirit in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may comprehend with all saints that breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. We pray this prayer for ourselves. We pray for the brethren. Oh, let's pray for the brethren. And every one of them passing through one something like that, they will be strengthened according to the riches of God's glory in their inner man, that Christ will dwell in their hearts by faith, that no fear will assail, no doubt will prevail. There will be no loud decision of the enemy that will be able to shake them from the foundation that is theirs in Christ. They will stand strong and complete in the perfect will of God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo, glory. Glory to God. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Let's just pray about the Holy Ghost meetings. Extraordinary demonstrations of God's mighty power from our depths. Let's pray at those things from our depths tonight. Manifestations, God's glory, God's power. Ombakatile gike shebro gostakasia esesembaro ombakandie ene ene. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Name. Glory to your 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 name. Awesome testimonies. We see mighty demonstrations of your glory and your power. We receive the saints blessed and defiled. We receive men saved and delivered. We thank you for your transforming grace and power. Blessed be your name. Thank you for the move of your spirit. Thank you for the activities and instructions and directions we receive in abundance. Thank you for the breaking forth. We give glory and honor to you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.